This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
For 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. Don't forget to tune in next week. My wonderful co-host, Dana Lake, will be returning with another great show. Today's show is going to be focused on women's health issues. We have a wonderful special guest who's going to be discussing with us how diet, nutrition, so important to women's health. We're going to be talking about estrogen metabolism. The topics today go way beyond the basic conversations relating to women's health and hormone replacement as far as bioidentical hormones and synthetic hormones. We're going to go way beyond that and really discuss the nitty-gritty of how your body deals with hormones and why it's important to think about what you eat when it comes to modulating your hormones. These are extremely, extremely important points that every woman, and arguably every man, because hormone metabolism does take place in men as well, needs to know about, because these do affect the overall aspects of your health and your hormonal balance. And so many times when women have hormonal issues, whether they're seeing a doctor who has a more natural type of bent on things, or they're going to a gynecologist or a more traditional physician, oftentimes hormones are used to sort of mask the symptoms. In a traditional gynecology's office, they're probably going to use oral birth control to deal with a hormonal imbalance, ovarian cysts, polycystic ovary, menstrual irregularities. If you go to see a more natural doctor, you may get prescriptions for bioidentical hormones for perimenopausal and menopausal women. But the important thing that can't be missed is how these hormones are metabolized and how these hormones are utilized by the body and how basic things you do every single day can affect how that is done. So I want to remind everyone that you can listen to all of our previously recorded shows for absolutely free by going to the Village Green website, www.myvillagegreen.com, and clicking on the archive show link. You can also go directly to iTunes, which is really convenient, and just type in the search bar of iTunes, Essentials of Healthy Living, and it'll pull up all of our previously recorded shows that you can download for absolutely free. So that's a wonderful resource. You can put them right on your iPhone, you can put them on your iPod, listen to them. I have patients all the time that tell me when they hear I have a radio show, they'll download 6 or 7 or 8 shows, and they can just learn so much about their health just by listening to the shows for free. So I want to introduce my special guest and get started on our topic, Deanna Minich. Deanna, tell me if I said that right.
It's Minich.
Minich. She's a PhD and a CN, which is a certified nutrition specialist, correct?
Yes.
Yes. So you have this extremely long and impressive bio. Dr. Minich had an academic background in nutritional science, a master's degree in human nutrition and dietetics from the University of Illinois at Chicago. She did a PhD in medical science at the University of Groningen in the Netherlands. Her area of research has been focused primarily on lipid biochemistry and in particular on the absorption and metabolism of essential fatty acids using stable isotope labeled lipids. In addition to her academic degrees and extensive teaching at the university level, she is a fellow and a certified nutrition specialist through the American College of Nutrition and completed her training as a functional medicine practitioner through the Institute of Functional Medicine, which is a great place that does wonderful training. Currently, she serves as a member of the Nutritionary Advisory Board for the Institute of Functional Medicine. Her industry experience includes working at Cook Pharma in Belmont, California, on the research and development of medical food, the Heart Bar, and at General Mills, Inc. in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where she served as senior nutritional scientist. She served as liaison with she's been with Metagenix since 2003 and has served as liaison between the research and development and marketing departments, identifying new ingredients and translating scientific information. Presently, as Vice President of Research and Development Communications, she leads a diverse team responsible for technical writing, product launches, and library resources, in addition to her role as a teaching clinician in the Functional Medicine Research Center. So,
that is a long bio.
It is, but you have a lot of an impressive career to talk about. I guess I also missed that you're also the author of Essential Fatty Acid and Absorption and Metabolism. So you are also an author, as well as four other books on nutrition. So you have been a busy girl. Congratulations to you.
Thanks, Dr. Becerro.
So today you're here to talk and share with us your expertise regarding estrogen metabolism, women's health, all that stuff. So, you know, I have a sore horse voice today, so I am pleased to have a guest who I can let speak freely and really educate all the listeners so I don't have to do that much work today. So this is great. Can you start by kind of telling us, you know, what's so special about women's health? I mean, you know, talk to us about how you got into this and set us up for all of the wonderful information you're going to share with us today.
Sure. Thanks so much, first of all, for having me on the show. It's really my pleasure to make sure that this information is readily available. I really believe that education, especially as it relates to nutrition, is so important these days, especially when there's so much misinformation and conflicting information about. So in the past couple of years, I've really developed, gone deeper into women's health issues. And you made a couple of great comments in your beginning remarks, and that is, even though today we're going to be focused on women's health, much of what we're going to be talking about really can be applied to men as well, because men have estrogen in their bodies just like women do, just different amounts. And so there are ways to deal with the metabolism of estrogen in order to help with a lot of the symptoms that arise that tie into some of the conditions that you mentioned. So what we can do is touch on some of the things like polycystic ovarian syndrome. We can talk about premenstrual syndrome. And one of my favorites, especially because so many women today are now moving through the perimenopause and menopause, is that whole area of that menopausal transition. So what I'd like to do is really focus on those three conditions and maybe talk briefly about some of the other conditions that start to crop up during those menopausal years.
Okay, I think that's great. I want to just real quick cover a point. When we talk about estrogen metabolism in men and women, of course we're talking about, you know, we know women, primary dominant hormone, sex hormone is estrogen. And in men, we don't think about it as much. But as you mentioned, men do make some estrogen naturally. But I think it's important for a second to talk about the importance of estrogen metabolism, given all of the xenoestrogens we're exposed to. Would you agree?
Definitely.
So can you just educate the audience for a minute? Because, again, I think you're going to do a better job than me. I mean, what is a xenoestrogen and you know, why is this something that's important to think about?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. So, yes, inherently we have estrogen in our bodies, men and women, just different amounts. But what's happening is in our environment, which is becoming increasingly toxic, as you may have heard, is we get the exposure of what has been called endocrine disruptors. And these are, as you refer to them, as xenoestrogens. So these are things in the environment, things like plastics or plasticizers, fungicides, pesticides, pharmaceuticals, things of that nature that come into our bodies and essentially disrupt our endocrine system. And our endocrine system is really like a web in the body and involves a lot of different glands, everything from the hypothalamus in the brain, the pituitary in the brain, the adrenal glands, which sit on top of the kidneys, the thyroid, which sits in the neck area, and then also the gonadal area, which would be either the ovaries in women or the testes in men. So really these areas, these glands, this endocrine system is very susceptible to disruption from these toxic components in the environment. And one of those toxic components is bisphenol A.
Yeah, I was going to say BPA has been a big one in the news lately.
Yeah, also known as BPA, exactly. Yeah. And even in the mainstream standard top-tier medical journals now, what we're seeing is articles looking at bisphenol A concentration and the association with various disorders, everything from mortality or death to obesity. In fact, these endocrine disruptors like BPA have been called obesogens because they may play a role in the formation of obesity, also in type 2 diabetes. In fact, Dr. Jeffrey Bland, who is a nutritional biochemist that I work with, he has really done a lot of work on bringing to the forefront the research that is out there on persistent organic pollutants in the environment and the incidence of type 2 diabetes. It's kind of a combination there. So it's not just obesity alone that leads to a lot of these health issues like type 2 diabetes. It's also the presence of certain toxins that can really upregulate a lot of the body systems and put us into gear and create a lot of the dysfunction.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because people are always fighting, you know, their diet, their lifestyle, their exercise. They feel like they're eating right. Is it genetics? I mean, it brings a whole new dimension into it when you think about the toxins and things that we're being exposed to on a daily basis. And the reality is, if you were to follow through the average person's day and look at, you know, the water that they drink, the containers that their food comes in, what they heat things up in, the products that they put on their face, the soaps that they use, the shampoos that they use, the chemicals they inhale in their office, the ones they inhale in their car. If you were to follow somebody through the day and count the contacts that they have with potential things, these toxins that can contribute to these issues, it's pretty unbelievable that no matter where you turn, you're going to be doing something to that nature.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, I was thirsty this morning, so I have a bottle of water next to me, but of course it's a, you know, plastic bottle that
plastic container.
I mean, it's just, it's everywhere. And we don't really know exactly to a degree how much we're getting from each exposure, but we know that they are everywhere and cumulatively it may be having a significant effect on us.
That's right. And so just being aware, being educated, knowing on what those sources are, and you gave a nice list of some of the potential areas. I mean, even something like makeup.
Yeah.
In fact, I remember having a patient and working with her, and she just wasn't getting well. And we had taken out all of the whether it's endocrine disruptors, we also looked at gluten. But she was still applying lots of makeup and had the use of a lot of hair products. And so I think that that's something that women need to look at, because there's even been some consumer research showing that women on average apply 126 different chemicals to her face, body, and hair in the morning.
Yeah, every day. I've seen that as well.
Every day.
Crazy.
And so I think really being conscious, really being aware of what types of products you're using is important. And there are good, healthy products out there to use. So it's not that you can't ever wear makeup again or you can't ever wash your hair. But there are, you just have to just be savvy and read the labels.
Exactly. All right. So when we come back from the break, you're going to be talking to us about the specific aspect of estrogen metabolism and how it relates directly to some common women's health concerns. And, you know, I think that was an important piece to bring up because it does put into context the fact that we need to be a little more aware about metabolizing estrogens because of what we've created in our society with all of the, better living through chemical type of mantra that we have. So anyway, this is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM Federal News Radio. And don't go anywhere. We're going to be back right after this break.
Since 1973, Megafood has been providing supplements which harness the power of phytonutrient-rich whole foods. For optimum nutrition and true vitality, we need foods which have not been damaged by heat. Megafood's state-of-the-art cold fusion process naturally protects the delicate phytonutrients present in whole food. Supplement daily with an easy-to-digest Megafood formula and enjoy the best that food has to offer. For information, call 800-848-2542.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of FitFood, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of FitFood contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. FitFood provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet. committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
For over 30 years, Gero Formulas has been formulating high-quality nutritional products. Our scientists and health professionals insist on doing things the old-fashioned way, with clinical studies and scientific research, because the true test of a company is the purity, potency, and value of its products, and meeting the highest expectations of those who matter most, our customers. To learn more about our formulas and to request free samples, visit JARROW.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM Federal News Radio. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. Don't forget, my wonderful co-host Dana Lake will be returning next week. Today, we are talking about women's health issues, estrogen metabolism. In the last segment, we covered some great information about estrogen in our environment. In this segment, we're going to talk with my extremely brilliant expert on the phone today, Deanna Minnick. Minnich? Tell me again, Deanna.
It's Minnick.
Thank you, Minnick.
Minnick, but
I know.
It's Minnick.
I need to just write a K in there so I say it right.
Yeah.
Deanna Minnick, who is a PhD researcher, clinical nutritionist, who's talking with us about some ways to help your body metabolize estrogen, which, again, I pointed out in the first segment, is something really important to consider, because mostly when we think about hormone disturbances, particularly when we look at women perimenopausal type time, it's always about replacing the hormones. What kind of more hormones are we going to give a woman? And sometimes people do need that, but you can't think about doing that unless you're also thinking about how is the body going to handle these hormones, how is the body going to metabolize these hormones, and how is the body going to get rid of these hormones. And that's really important. And when younger women, common approach for gynecological management of a woman with severe PMS or ovarian cysts or PCOS issues, irregular menses, is going to be oral birth control. And of course, that brings up huge issues with hormone metabolism and estrogen metabolism, because we know oral birth control contains a lot of synthetic hormones. So in this segment, Deanna, let's just talk about what are some of the issues that women experience in their 30s and beyond, and, you know, what can they do about them in context of this conversation we're having today?
Yeah, sure. Well, one of them is definitely PMS, premenstrual syndrome. And I myself have experienced this, so I know exactly what this is about. And as women mature, they usually get a bout of PMS as they're developing, but then sometimes there's some resolution of those symptoms in the 20s. And then what happens into the 30s is that there seems to be a kind of a new flood of these PMS-type symptoms again, because what happens is, especially because women are, they tend to take on a lot, they tend to be very stressed, especially if they're juggling family and work and a whole host of different things. And so what happens is they start to deplete a lot of their stress hormones, which puts a lot of strain on their production of sex hormones that are involved in ovulation. So some of the issues with estrogen and progesterone, and what happens is she can even start going into early perimenopause in her late 30s and into her early 40s, when oftentimes that's not even experienced until the mid to late 40s. So that's one thing, is just really looking at a resurgence of PMS-type symptoms that occur in the late 30s due to a lot of stress in her life. Because, again, if we look at a precursor or the starting material for a lot of the sex hormones, it's really starting with cholesterol. Cholesterol makes everything from stress hormones to sex hormones to things that you need to keep salt and potassium balance in the body. So we really upset a lot of different systems when we're stressed. So that's one thing. Another thing that is can be disrupted is also testosterone metabolism in the body. And so the balance between estrogen and testosterone, and that can manifest in the way of polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is really a state of lots of androgens or testosterone. She may or may not be cycling, so she may not be ovulating. And she may have a lot of issues with insulin resistance. And this condition ties in very closely with something like metabolic syndrome, which is a pre-diabetic state, which already shows that there are some disturbances with insulin. And then finally, as I mentioned, as I was talking about PMS, we also have perimenopause, which is kind of the 5 to 7 years before the menopause occurs. And menopause is simply the point at which a woman has experienced 12 consecutive months of not having her menstrual period. So at that 12th month point where she has not had her period, that's considered to be menopause. And then everything after that is considered to be postmenopause. And with the postmenopausal period, because the estrogen starts to go down and progesterone has been declining during the perimenopause time, what happens is she starts to become more vulnerable to things like bone issues, things with her cognition and remembering, things with her metabolism and her body composition. So maybe she's had no issues with her weight all her life, and then all of a sudden she goes through menopause and she starts to pack on the pounds, especially around the belly area. So really, to take you into the solutions for this, because there are definitely, and as you were talking about, Dr. Passero, typically as women start to go through this type of transition, they become, you know, it's just another thing that they have to deal with in their 30s and 40s.
Mm-hmm.
So they may go to the doctor, they may be looking for some type of quick fix, whether through hormonal replacement. But there are some nutritional type of therapies and even some botanical therapies that can really help with the menopausal symptoms that are safe.
Yeah, and the important thing is even if you're taking a safe hormonal regimen, you have to understand that, and I think hopefully you're going to get into this, when estrogens are metabolized by the body, some of the byproducts of estrogen metabolism can be more problematic than estrogen itself.
Yeah.
So ensuring that you are doing things to promote the right type of estrogen metabolism in your body is very helpful, because although you may be taking a safe form of the hormone, the metabolite, that's up to what your body is going to determine what metabolite is produced. And there are things that you can do in your diet and lifestyle that will help your body produce and metabolize estrogens in a way where we make more friendly metabolites that are less likely to potentially contribute to problems down the road.
Excellent point. I'm really glad that you mentioned that, because we're getting estrogen in a lot of different ways. So whether we're just having it inherently in the body, and if we're having it exogenous or from the outside estrogens come into the body, what's most important is that we give the body the materials it needs in order to metabolize estrogen properly. And as you were mentioning, and I'm glad that you brought this up, estrogen can convert to a lot of different things in the body. The body has to metabolize it, and the liver is really key in doing that. The liver has certain enzymes that help to metabolize estrogen into lots of different forms. And some of those forms are pretty active and reactive in different body systems. So, and some are protective. So it's kind of a balance. And as long as we're getting the things that we need, then we can ensure that we're going to be processing estrogen in the best way possible. So the way I see it, there are really 6 steps to help balance estrogen in the body. And excess estrogen has been tied to a number of the different conditions that I was already mentioning. And it's really not just excess absolute estrogen, but it's excess relative estrogen to some of the other hormones in the body. So again, if a woman is stressed, what tends to happen is her progesterone could come down a bit, and then that leaves a gap between estrogen and progesterone.
Right. So I always explain estrogen dominance can happen through a couple ways. One is you have too much estrogen coming in. So possibly you are taking a synthetic hormone, or you're taking a regular hormone, or something you're doing in your lifestyle or in our diet because of what's in our environment is elevating estrogen levels. Or you can have estrogen dominance, not because estrogen levels are too high, but because one of the other balancing hormones like progesterone is too low, which, as you mentioned, is something that can happen as a result of people being under chronic stress. And usually people are under chronic stress and are exposed to too much estrogen. So oftentimes it's a combination of both that creates an estrogen dominance. So go ahead.
Yeah. Excellent, because that really sets the framework for us to move into the first step of how to deal with healthy estrogen metabolism in the body. So one of the first things is to balance the estrogen input. And you already mentioned that as we were discussing before. But this also ties into body weight. So somebody that is overweight, actually the fat tissue is a source of estrogen in the body. And so by bringing the body weight back into balance, we can help to reduce some of the excess estrogen in the body. So that's something to think about, is if you are experiencing some of the hormonal imbalances, to really think about, how do I move myself into healthy body composition? And there are definitely a number of ways to do that. You can also reduce your exposure to a lot of those endocrine disruptors that we talked about. And you can also help to reduce what's called aromatization of testosterone to estrogen. So that happens in the fat tissue typically, where testosterone can convert to estrogen. And we can help to prevent a lot of that conversion by getting things in fruits and vegetables. A lot of the phytochemicals or plant compounds are really important for helping to inhibit that reaction. Another thing that's really important for helping to reverse that reaction is, and I'm sure that your listeners have heard a lot about flaxseed, and in addition to the flaxseed oil that that you get with flax, which is the alpha-linolenic acid, you also have these specific compounds in flax called lignans, L-I-G-N-A-N-S, and these lignans help to blunt or inhibit that aromatase conversion of testosterone to estrogen. So there are lots of sources of lignans in the diet, not just flax derived, but also, I mean, everything that we're eating, whether it's of a vegetable or legume origin. So things like cashews or chickpeas, different fruits, oats, pineapple, buckwheat, things like that would have lignans in the material. So that would, again, help to prevent a lot of that conversion. There's also something called chrysin, C-H-R-Y-S-I-N. And chrysin is found in certain plants like blue passion flower. It's also found in bee pollen, which is very interesting. So chrysin helps with the inhibition of that aromatase enzyme as well. There are other things like grapeseed extract, tea consumption. I know that you've probably heard of the many benefits of consuming tea. And some of the compounds within tea, like the catechins, the theophylactins, also help to inhibit that aromatase enzyme, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So then moving on from that, really the step two, number two on this list, is to promote a healthy ratio of what we call phase one estrogen metabolites.
Now, can I just back up for a second?
Sure.
And I just want to cover this one point, and then we're going to need to take a break, and I don't want to stop you. But I think there is a lot of concern, and there may be women out there who are perimenopausal, menopausal time, and there's a misconception or there's a belief that all of their symptoms are related to not having enough estrogen. So this concept of doing things that are going to reduce estrogen production, do you have any comments on that? Do you think that's a worthy topic to comment on?
Yeah, well, first of all, your first point about the symptoms that women experience, whether it's the hot flushes, the vaginal dryness, the moodiness that they feel as they go through the perimenopause, not all women experience these effects, which suggests that it probably doesn't have to do with estrogen deficiency per se, but it may have to deal with how rapidly her body is adjusting to those changes in estrogen.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, if somebody is overweight, and so they've got lots of adipose tissue and they've got lots of potential for lots of estrogen, what you really want to do, because that adipose tissue can also be inflammatory,
mm-hmm.
not always, but it may tend to be inflammatory, and that may further compound a lot of the issues with perimenopause and the menopausal symptoms. So getting things in the diet, like I mentioned, whether it's flax, lignans, eating more fruits and vegetables, all these things are really setting up the body for providing a general foundation to metabolize estrogen appropriately. And it's not that you are getting rid of all this estrogen, but you're modulating and balancing it within the body.
Right. And that's the key that I want people to understand. You can eat this way. And for a woman who's dealing with menopausal issues, I don't want them to be scared to eat these really healthy foods and do these things that are going to help with estrogen metabolism, because it's all about creating the right balance. And that's what these do.
Yeah.
So thank you for clarifying that. I just thought that was an important point, because I think some people do get confused when you explain
that concept. That is a very good point. Yep. Yeah.
So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be picking up the conversation, and Dr. Minnick is going to be explaining the rest of her steps in dealing with helping to create healthy estrogen balance. So this is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be back right after this break.
Whether you're an active baby boomer, a weekend warrior, or a professional athlete, Boron's Arnicare Gel is the perfect solution to all life's little injuries. Arnicare, which contains the healing benefits of homeopathic Arnica Montana, can be used safely to treat muscle pain, stiffness, swelling, and bruising due to minor injuries, overexertion, and surgery. The non-greasy gel has no artificial colors, perfumes, or parabens. Arnicare is also available in cream and ointment formulas. You can find Arnicare at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit Arnicare on the web at arnicare.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. They are the only raw multivitamin to include live enzymes and probiotics, amino acids, and antioxidants. They are gluten and dairy free with no soy allergens. Vitamin Code is uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, and binder free. Vitamin Code Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Get the one tiny pearl that delivers big acidophilus, 900% more. Get acidophilus pearls from Enzymatic Therapy. Each little pearl-shaped capsule makes a big impact, delivering up to 900% more live probiotics to the intestine than other products. This revolutionary product aids digestion, supports a healthy immune system, and is perfect for travelers who want to enhance intestinal health. This season, make sure to take the pearls that give you big acidophilus. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorn Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorn's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, Federal News Radio, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host, Dr. Kevin Passero, and we're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m., so don't forget to tune in. Today, we are covering an extremely important topic, estrogen metabolism. This relates to all sorts of female health issues, including irregular menses, PMS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, perimenopausal symptoms, menopausal symptoms, pretty much spans the gap of all female hormonal related issues. This is extremely important information. I have a wonderful, brilliant special guest on the phone with me today. Dr. Deanna Menick is a PhD researcher and clinical nutritionist. She works with Metagenics and is helping educate us today on this topic. I just want to briefly mention the Village Green is having a sale on all their pathway products through March 7th. So if you need to stock up on any of those products, make sure to come on in store. It's a great opportunity to take advantage of that. Also, if you're just tuning in and want to listen to the show in its entirety, you can download it for free by going to www.myvillagegreen.com and clicking on the archive show section. It takes about 4 or 5 days to get it posted there, but we'll have this show and all of our previously recorded shows available for you to download for absolutely free. So Dr. Minnick, thank you for being with us today. I'd love to pick up our conversation again. again, in the last segment, we had just reviewed some issues around some dietary things, weight issues around balancing estrogen. You were about to go to the next step, so I'm just going to let you go ahead and do that.
Okay, great. So, Kevin, you were also talking about how women, as they're experiencing these menopausal symptoms, you know, what is that from? Is it from low estrogen or not? And one of the things to talk about in this conversation is really how estrogen is metabolized. And hang on tight, because we are going to talk a little bit about biochemistry, but we're going to make it really simple. Sometimes the type of symptoms that a woman will experience, whether it's PMS or it's perimenopausal complaints, could be related not to the level of estrogen in the body, but how that estrogen is metabolized in the body. And in the liver, I mentioned this earlier in the call, the liver is kind of the hub for metabolizing estrogen in the body. The liver has enzymes, and we all know that we're all very different as individuals, and we may have different functioning of those different enzymes in the liver. And so depending on the functioning of those enzymes in the liver, we may get different metabolites of estrogen formed. And there is a way, if you do go to a healthcare professional, some of them may have access to tests which can look at the ratio of those different metabolites. And some of those metabolites include, the names are like 2-hydroxyestrogen, 4-hydroxyestrogen, 16-alpha-hydroxyestrogen. So primarily these three are looked at. And in fact, the 2-16, those two compounds, oftentimes what we're seeing is that that ratio is correlated to a number of different health conditions. And in fact, there is even a connection there with a low 2-16 ratio of these estrogens and even breast cancer incidence. And so it's really important to look at how your body is metabolizing estrogen. And one of the things in the diet that can help to modulate or balance the enzyme activity in the body as it relates to those different metabolites is, and I know it's not one of everybody's favorites, but it's cruciferous vegetables. So these would be things like cabbage, broccoli, turnips, mustards, like the green mustards, Brussels sprouts. I remember Brussels sprouts are not too many people's favorites. But it's really important to ensure that we get a lot of these green cruciferous vegetables in our diet, because they help to promote a healthy ratio of those estrogen metabolites. So that's really important.
That is important. I think it's also just real quick important to note things that you do that are bad in your diet also make things go the opposite way. So eating fried food, eating burnt or charred food, overconsumption of alcohol, smoking cigarettes, all of those things will push the pathway, your body to produce the pathway of estrogen metabolites that are bad for you. Doing good things that are good for you, broccoli, cruciferous vegetables, taking care of yourself, minimizing exposure, cigarette smoke, burnt foods, alcohol, help push it in the other direction.
Yeah, I'm glad that you clarified what could make it worse, because, I'm just focusing on kind of what to add and what to think about. But you're right, you know, it is a balance all around. And as you mentioned about fats, these fried fats, what could push it in a positive direction would be the omega-3 fatty acids. So things from fish oil or from flax that you can get. And many people just have too little of these omega-3 fats in general. So it's really important to ensure that you're getting some good, healthy omega-3 fats. The flax lignans, again, can help to positively influence those estrogen metabolites. And so getting some ground flaxseed meal. And what I like to do is mix that into yogurt or put it on top of salads a little bit, put it in your cereal, really to get that ground flaxseed. I think it's really important. Another food is soy, so dietary soy, so things like soy milk or tofu, more the pure soy products, can also be very helpful in helping to shift.
What do you mean by pure soy products?
Well, if you look at a lot of the soy products on the market, what it seems like is happening is that you get a lot of sugar, you get a lot of these other processing agents into the soy food products that you know, in the end, it may not be healthy because all these different things have been added to it, whether more fat or... So what I would say is just stick to the basics. So if you get soy milk, really stick with the unsweetened soy milk without all the other additives included.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. And then what's also really important is as your body is producing these estrogen metabolites, what can happen is we can start to produce some more reactive type of estrogen metabolites, especially if we have certain liver enzymes. And so it's really important to make sure that we're getting enough antioxidants in our diet to help to protect against the more reactive estrogen metabolites, because what they're finding in the research is that these estrogen metabolites can actually interact with your DNA and create what's called an adduct. And so you can get some changes in the functioning of your DNA. And of course, these are not favorable changes to the DNA. So you don't want that to happen. So helping to blunt against those effects, this oxidative stress effect with antioxidants would be very good. And in fact, in the studies, what they're finding is things like berries. And I think that I see so much good research on berries, whether it's red raspberries, blueberries, strawberries. There's some great data even to show that blueberries are really helpful for the brain and ensuring better learning, at least in animal models. So getting berries, getting things like vitamin E, getting even something like vitamin C, that there is a there are a number of studies looking at cancer risk and vitamin C consumption. So I think that that is very important as well.
So have you written a book yet on the estrogen metabolism diet?
It's coming.
Is it? Because it sounds like you got a book on your hands here. It would be great to be able to plan out a meal, you know, to really plan it out so you know what to eat at, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner, to really incorporate all these foods into your diet so that you are really promoting your overall hormonal wellness.
Yeah, and it really can be done if we're consistent. And like you're mentioning, too, to cut out the negative habits, to increase exercise, to cut out the smoking. You know, everything we do is really impacting our health in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, well, people grossly underestimate the importance of diet and nutrition, especially in the role of having dramatic effects on health issues. But the reality is that it can. There's this whole emerging field of nutrigenomics, which, you know, has actually now been around for a while, where we're really understanding that what we eat has a specific, very powerful effect on how our DNA expresses itself. And, you know, this is, it's not like you take a pill and you're better the next day, but eating in a way in your diet consistently can produce significant health effects. And I think Dean Ornish has done a great job in proving the importance of diet and lifestyle in regards to heart disease. And we know that nutrition and dietary interventions can be as or more powerful than other type of medical interventions if they're done appropriately and done consistently. So I think it is a really important area. I'm looking forward to your book.
Thanks. Well, and you're right. I mean, the fact of food is information, food is medicine. And I came across a staggering statistic some time ago showing that the average American takes in about 2,000 pounds of sheer food, just foodstuff, every year. And so if you think about all that information that runs through us, I just think, you know, how can we think that that does not impact us?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can even tell how you feel after you've eaten a certain meal, if you feel tired. I mean, if you have energy or you don't have energy. I mean, it's just amazing how food does signal on to the cells, just like a drug would.
Yep.
It's fitting into those receptors. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that was, go ahead. Well, I think it's time to take a little bit of a break. And when we come back, we'll have a chance to wrap up, unless there's a quick point that you want to complete on this last topic we were talking about.
Well, when we come back, maybe we can talk about the gut a little bit, because that's really important as it relates to estrogen metabolism.
Okay. That sounds good. I know that is an expensive topic. So we will definitely come back to that when we come back from the break. So just to review everybody, I mean, the importance of this segment was understanding that your liver has an extremely important job in metabolizing these estrogens. And there are specific foods that Dr. Minnick mentioned, the broccoli, the cruciferous vegetables, soy, berries, antioxidants that can really benefit your liver's ability to detoxify and metabolize these estrogens into the forms that are less associated with health risk. So again, another example of how diet can have really strong impact on your hormone balance. So this is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living on here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio. Don't touch that dial because we're going to be back right after this break.
There are trillions of cells in your body. When they are well nourished, They support energy levels, stress response, and all major organ systems. Quality whole foods contain intelligent, bioavailable nutrients. This intelligence cannot be mimicked by isolated fractions of vitamins and minerals alone. Choose a Megafood Cold Fusion food state or food-based formula and experience the true quality of Radiant Health. For more information, call 800-848-2542.
Bridging the gap between nutraceuticals and pharmaceuticals. That's the concept behind Zymogen's new exclusive and patented line of formulations, which utilize sophisticated delivery technologies to focus on specific molecular targets. The Zymogen EP line features Immunitix 3-6, a potent ingredient that has demonstrated a measurable ability to prime and enhance immune cell function. Applications include immune system support and support for white blood cell recovery following radiation therapy and other bone marrow effects treatments. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
For over 10 years, Nordic Naturals has been the world leader in crafting omega-3 fish oils that are great for the body and for the planet. They work one-on-one with researchers and select fishermen to harvest only those fish species that are flourishing. With Nordic Naturals, you get all the benefits of omega-3, a strong heart, clear eyes, and flexible joints, plus the reassurance that their products are environmentally friendly. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
Listen. Blissful silence. The sound of a healthy, balanced digestive system. No rumbling stomach, no loud gurgles, and most of all, no discomfort. Jarrow Formula's Ideal Bowel Support 299V contains a clinically documented probiotic strain that promotes regularity, enhances intestinal comfort, and optimizes immune health. And now you can get a free sample of Ideal Bowel Support 299V when you visit our website at jarrow.com. Jarrow Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't handle? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula for you, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. We invite you to talk with one of our compounding specialists today. Our team of 50 includes pharmacists, nutritionists, a clinical herbalist, and a naturopath offering customized products and personalized healthy living plans to ensure your well-being. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host today, Dr. Kevin Passero. Don't forget to tune in next week for my wonderful co-host, Dana Lake. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. Also, you can stream our show online by going to the www.federalnewsradio.com website. So if you think we have an interesting show coming up or you want one of your friends out of state to listen to it, they can just go online and stream it live as the show airs on Sunday. You can also download all of our previously recorded shows by going to myvillagegreen.com or going to iTunes and typing in the search bar Essentials of Healthy Living. Today we've been talking about estrogen metabolism and female, how it relates to female hormonal related issues. I have a wonderful special guest on the phone with me today, Dr. Deanna Menick, who's been sharing with us some great information. We have a lot of good stuff to get to in this last segment. So just a quick reminder, Village Green is having 25% off sale on all Pathway products until March 7th. So if you need to restock on anything, I recommend you get in there before March 7th to stock up on your products. So, Dr. Menick, in this last segment, we're going to talk about a few important things. You had alluded to speaking about some stuff related to the gut and how the gut is related to estrogen metabolism, which I think most people would have no concept of relating to. So maybe you can explain to us how our GI system plays into this whole entire situation.
Sure. So I mentioned the liver being a key player in estrogen metabolism, and at the end of the day, what the liver is doing is really adding a group onto estrogen so that it could be excreted into the stool. And so we get a lot of estrogen, conjugated estrogen, moving through our guts every day. And so you can imagine that if we're constipated, if we've got disturbed microflora in our gut, meaning we've got more bad bugs than good bugs, that what's going to happen is how we metabolize estrogen is going to change. And in fact, if you look at the studies and just look at just people in general, what you tend to see is that there is an overlap between women with gastrointestinal issues and gynecological issues. In fact, there are multiple publications showing that women with irritable bowel syndrome tend to have a higher incidence of something like PMS or endometriosis or pelvic pain, a number of different things. And so what I would say is if you are experiencing a lot of these gynecological type of conditions, look to the gut as well. That is a very important piece not to be overlooked. And, of course, the gut ties into so many other things as well, including our behavior, our immune system, et cetera. So it's really a pivotal point. So some of the things that you can do for the gut, there is a standard four-hour program that we at Metagenics have developed. And it's really about removing the offenders, whether you've got bacterial overgrowth, you've got candida albicans overgrowth, and then also replacing the gut with the enzymes it needs. And as we get older, from the age of 35 on, really, you start to see decreased stomach acid, you start to see decreased pancreatic enzymes. And so and especially those things respond to the level of stress in somebody's life. And so if we can help to replenish those, that will help us to absorb and digest our food properly so that things aren't hanging around in the gut longer than they need to be. Now, the third step of the 4R is re-inoculate, and that really ties in very strongly to what I mentioned before about the good bugs and the bad bugs. If we can get good, healthy bacteria, whether by consuming foods that are fermented with certain microbes or we take supplemental probiotics, that will be very important and help to essentially lead to the proper excretion of estrogen rather than the reabsorption of estrogen back into the body. And then, of course, we always want to take care of the gut lining, and that can be done with a variety of different things like glutamine, like zinc, with short-chain fats and that sort of a thing. And so really our gut turns over every 3 to 5 days. And so if we can ensure that we're getting healthy nutrients in our diet to ensure that that gut lining can turn over, it doesn't become leaky or porous, then we've got a good gut lining to work with. So it's really important to focus on the gut, and I would say number one really is that the probiotic piece to prevent the some of the enzymes that take off that group on the estrogen and allow it to be reabsorbed back in the body.
Yeah, absolutely. Creating a good GI microflora environment is really important, and taking probiotics is certainly the first step in doing that. I think it's really important for people to understand that if they're having gut issues or they really want to work on building up the health of their GI system, you know, it also things that will affect it are the food that you put in. So if you're eating a lot of processed food, a lot of sugar, a lot of junk food, a lot of bad fats, you're not going to be providing the cells of the GI system and the microbes of the GI system with their preferred forms of food. So you're going to be more likely to get that dysbiosis. So it's really important to think about it and approaching it from several different aspects. If you're not ready to do that, taking a probiotic is certainly a great way to at least get started and will help to move that microflora in a better direction. You know, something we were always taught in our naturopathic education, it was very clear that, you know, foundations of wellness really lied in the gut and liver health. I mean, those two systems, you know, of course you need all your other systems to be able to live and function. But when it comes to overall wellness, modulating inflammation, immune function, you know, just basically supporting your body in all of the ways it needs to be supported, those two systems have to be solid in order to build a good foundation for the rest of your health. So gut health is so important and relates to so many different conditions, whether it's hormonal issues, whether it's autoimmune issues, whether it's, as you mentioned, it could be mood issues. The gut really plays a whole huge role in all of this. So I think I'm glad we brought that up. So let's talk about some specific recommendations. I know, you know, people may want some specific things like, okay, if I'm not necessarily running to bioidentical hormones for my hot flashes, you know, what other kind of things can we get out of today's shows and the concepts that we've introduced regarding actually dealing with some of these conditions?
Yeah. So lifestyle change for menopause is very potent, and really changing certain things about how you live can really make an impact on the symptoms that you feel as you're going through that very tender transition. And since my background is in food, let's start there.
Okay.
I think it's really important to include low glycemic whole foods, so foods that are nutrient dense, so that you're getting a lot of the color, the natural colors, the phytochemicals, and those are going to be important for so many different pathways in the body. I can't even go into it in the short time we have, but very important. I think it's also important to watch your blood sugar by having not just the low glycemic foods, but also eating small, frequent meals throughout the day, because you might feel more vulnerable to things like emotional eating or cravings. And so if you keep your blood sugar stable throughout the day with these small, frequent meals, low glycemic foods, you're going to create more of a foundation, more balance there.
Yeah, I mean, the blood sugar issue, I think, is really important. You know, we know that stress and women under stress, they may have more hot flashes or issues if they're kind of on the borderline with it. When they get under stress, those become exacerbated. You know, we think about stress in so many different ways. We think about sitting in bad traffic. We think about our financial issues. We think about an overbearing boss, a restraint in one of our relationships. We think of all those things as stress. What we don't think about stress are things like blood sugar ups and downs. But the reality is it is a significant stress to the body. And although we perceive all these stresses very differently, our body really only has one mechanism for dealing with them. So,
right.
You know, you may not be able to overnight fix a bad marriage or a strained relationship with a sibling or a daughter or a son or a financial issue. But what you can do is work on simple things like eating more nutritious diets and stabilizing your blood sugar. And physiologically, right off the bat, that will remove a huge amount of stress from the system. And that alone can be a way of getting some relief for a woman if she's starting to deal with some of these issues. So I think you'd agree with me on that, Deanna. I'm going to let you keep moving on with your recommendations.
Absolutely. So you make a very good point on that. And I, you know, again, the stress-free food plan and really ensuring that you're getting high-quality protein at breakfast to help reduce that stress. When it comes to activity, it's funny because many people, as they're experiencing these hot flashes, they don't want to go to the gym. They don't want to be active because that's just going to fuel the hot flashes and then just make them more warm, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that you can do is start to do more cooling exercises, so things that are more about balance. And my favorite, and probably because I'm a yoga teacher, is to choose something like yoga or Tai Chi, moderate level walking, and, you know, just to go with, or even swimming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever you tend to gravitate towards that you consider to be enjoyable, I would say to put your energy there. There are some other dietary things like omega-3 fatty acids, again, have been shown in studies to help with hot flashes. There is also a new material on the market, a Siberian rhubarb root extract, that has been shown to be very helpful for providing some relief from hot flashes.
Now, can I ask you a question? Does the Siberian rhubarb root have any specific hormonal effects? Like, would it be safe to give for a woman potentially if she had a high risk of a breast cancer or previous breast cancer? Because I know it specifically isn't hormonal, but how is it working on the hot flashes? Is that, and I don't know if that's a question you can answer, but if you can, I'd love to know the answer.
Yeah, well, what we say, because it hasn't been tested, is not to use it if somebody has a personal history of estrogen-dependent cancers.
Gotcha.
So if you actually have had cancer or, you know, you just don't feel comfortable for some reason, it hasn't been studied in that population. We do know from the published science that it works on the estrogen receptor beta, which is a very interesting target for a number of different reasons that we won't go into. But all in all, it really does help to reduce the hot flashes by 70% to 80%,
wow,
which is what you're going to see with things like HRT, hormone replacement therapy.
Wow. And that is, Metagenics has that product, correct?
That's right.
What's it called?
Yeah. It's called Estrovera.
Estrovera. Yeah, I've heard great things about that product, and I like it because it's alleviating the symptoms without actually giving a direct hormone. Because even if they're natural hormones, any kind of hormone replacement does carry some bit of risk. So, Dr. Minnick, we have to wrap up for today. Thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate all of your wonderful expertise.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Dr. Becerra.
All right. Thank you very much. All right, everybody. That about wraps up the Essentials of Healthy Living for this week. Again, Dana Lake will be here next week with another great show. So please tune in Sunday mornings, 10 to 11 a.m. I'll be back in a couple weeks with another wonderful show lined up for you all. So enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the rest of the week. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington, the Washington, D.C. home of...
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, we have a first-hand look inside Libya this morning. CNN's Nick Robertson's in the coastal town of Zawiya, some 35 miles west of Tripoli. He reports that government troops are on the outskirts of town, but anti-government forces control the city center.
We've seen men in uniforms here, opposition now in army uniforms, opposition people armed with RPGs sitting astride anti-aircraft guns. We've seen the crowd climbing over one of the army tanks in the central square here.
The UN Security Council has voted to impose sanctions on Muammar Gaddafi's regime in Libya, but speaking on CNN's State of the Union program this morning, Senator Joe Lieberman calls for an even tougher response.
I begin with the imposition of a no-fly zone so that Gaddafi can't be attacking his own people from the air, are flying in more mercenaries. I think we ought to recognize the opposition provisional government as